IVM.
What does the future of healthcare have in store for us? How is it evolving to help people live not just longer, but better? Health has always been a crucial topic of debate, but it has never been a part of conversations like this before. Welcome to Health as We Know It, presented by Abbott, where we talk about how innovations in health are shifting the way we see, manage, and treat it.
Hello and welcome to Health as We Know It. I'm your host, Divyam, and today we're going to explore a critical aspect of healthcare that often goes unnoticed: medication adherence. In a country like India, where the burden of chronic diseases and non-communicable diseases, NCDs, is growing, understanding and improving medication adherence is of a paramount importance. But what does medication adherence mean? How does it impact the management of chronic diseases, and how can we improve it? These are some of the questions we'll be addressing today. Joining us to shed light on these questions are two distinguished guests. Our first guest is Dr. Mangesh Devaskar, a consultant physician and diabetologist who brings with him a wealth of experience in managing chronic conditions like diabetes. Our second guest is Dr. Ashwini, Director of Medical Affairs at Abbott India. Dr. Ashwini will provide us with insights into how healthcare companies like Abbott are innovating to improve medication adherence and support patients on their journey to better health. Dr. Ashwini, Dr. Devaskar, a very big thank you for joining in.
Thank you.
So we're looking forward to a rich and enlightening discussion. Without further ado, let's dive into our conversation. I'd like to start with the base. Dr. Devaskar, what is the meaning of medication adherence?
Thank you, Divyam, for that question. And let me tell you that medication adherence, even though it sounds common, but it is not as simple as it sounds. Quite a few times, whenever you talk about medication adherence, you feel that probably taking medications on time, as prescribed by the doctor, in the right dosages, is only medication adherence, but it is not. It's just not that. It is overall person's behavior, you know, during taking medications, following a regular diet, exercise, lifestyle change, which has been suggested to him or her. Not only that, following the doctor's appointments regularly, patient should go for the regular follow-up checkups.
That sounds like a comprehensive definition, Dr. Devaskar. From the perspective of patients, you know, I wanted to ask you, Dr. Devaskar, how do you translate the topic of medication adherence when addressing patients?
Perfect. So as being the healthcare providers, it becomes our pivotal duty to make patients understand the importance of medication adherence. Because correct adherence is going to decide on the correct outcomes and lower possible complications related to the disease in the long run. Now, it is also extremely important to understand that compliance, economic factors, social status of the patient, his overall education status of the patient are all the factors which also decide and have an impact on the medication adherence. Most of the patients, those who enter the healthcare provider's chamber or consulting room, even though they are highly educated people, so while prescribing, while discussing, it is imperative for a healthcare practitioner or provider to be not only simple in initiating the discussions, but also having a free conversation with the patient and probably the provider or the healthcare giver who comes or accompanies with the patient.
I think that's a very interesting response, Dr. Devaskar. You know, I would be remiss to not focus on one of the points that you raised. Would you say that it is important for doctors to communicate this to the patients, and that's actually a very complex function of or a part of medication adherence?
Yes, it is. And it is also imperative for everyone of us who practice medicine is to see to it that all the challenges are understood well, and accordingly, the therapy has to be designed for the patient. Now, I will give you an example, if you permit me.
Please.
Now, suppose I am trying to initiate somebody with a medication which he or she doesn't really like, or maybe that he or she is not able to afford. If I insist that, no, you have to take this medication without thinking that he or she is unlikely to take it, cost of the therapy I have not considered. The chances of failure of the compliance is very, very high.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your response, Dr. Devaskar, and thank you for sharing your approach. It's interesting to see how you approach, you know, communicating this complex topic to patients and where your mindset is at in relation to that. That's really wonderful. Let's explore some of the reasons, you know, behind non-adherence. Dr. Devaskar, I'd like to understand, why do one in two people not take their medications as prescribed? What are the main reasons and drivers for this?
Yes, good question, Devin. The commonest reason why patients fail to adhere to the medications are the cost of the therapy. And unfortunately, India, being a pay-from-the-pocket system, where the individuals are paying from their pockets for their medications and the further management related, including the doctor's fees, the investigations that they do, and the medications. There are few patients who will understand all the details of what you talk. There are some patients who will not understand the details and what you are talking and is trying to discuss with them.
Got it. Dr. Devaskar did say that, you know, sometimes there are three or four therapies that are going on. You're dealing with three or four different lines of communication and three or four different protocols. Now you magnify this at a nation's level, at India's level, and it becomes a huge, huge, almost unsolvable problem. There have to be more ways for ensuring that, you know, there is at least a guidebook, if not a rule book, to solve for this issue. I believe that medication adherence is, or medication non-adherence rather, is something that does not affect the patient itself. It has a larger impact as well. So if both of you and Dr. Devaskar could go first, if you could speak about the larger economic impact of people not keeping up their health, missing work days because of medication non-adherence, could you speak about the economic impact and on the person and on the country as well? If you could expand and extrapolate it to that, that would be great.
This is a global, massive medical challenge, and it keeps people, you know, from reaching or achieving the optimal health. Some of the numbers that Dr. Devaskar highlighted, I'd like to really come back again to them. Almost half of the patients in the world don't really take their medicines as prescribed. One third never fill their prescriptions. And almost 31% stop taking medicines before even completing the duration. There's one of the studies I'd like to talk about, which was conducted in India and Bangalore and Kempegowda Institute of Medical Sciences, which spoke about non-adherence in India in the institute where the patients were treated was almost 50%. There was almost one of the study that was conducted in diabetic patients, 76% patient did not achieve blood sugar levels. There were uncontrolled blood sugar levels in those patients. And this is really concerning because in India, we have 77 million people living with diabetes. And while I'm talking about diabetes, there are many other chronic disease conditions where this is the challenge in terms of non-adherence.
Thank you. Thank you for your perspective, Dr. Ashwini. It's interesting to hear about, you know, the broader implications of medication adherence. You know, you elucidated very well that you have to adhere to the protocol to ensure that the disease that you're combating is taken care of. And that point has been driven home beautifully by the both of you.
Some more pointers on this is probably one common challenge that usually the patients they have is probably the complexity of the prescription.
Got it. Dr. Ashwini, what would you have to say on the question I just asked Dr. Devaskar? You know, Dr. Devaskar did say that, you know, sometimes there are three or four therapies that are going on. You're dealing with three or four different lines of communication and three or four different protocols. Now you magnify this at a nation's level, at India's level, and it becomes a huge, huge, almost unsolvable problem. There have to be more ways for ensuring that, you know, there is at least a guidebook, if not a rule book, to solve for this issue. So in your experience, would you suggest that there are some other ways that work at a more macro level that could help solve for, you know, this problem?
One of the points that Dr. Devaskar mentioned was in relation to the dialogue of the doctor with the patient. That holds a huge importance, right? But also looking at it at an individual behavior level and also at a macro level, what is it that we can really do about it? And why is it really important to look at this problem and solve it really very well is because if we really look at the impact, quite a few times we think that the impact is only on the individual health of the patient. But that's not really so. If you really look at non-adherence, the impact is at a public health and healthcare system level. And the cost is much more and huge. what at Abbott, Divyam, we're working on innovative approaches in terms of solutions beyond medicines, partnerships with leading national and international societies that so that we can really help remove the barriers to the access of healthcare in multiple different ways. But we're also trying to ensure in relation to the non-adherence to equip the doctors with the tools and latest techniques in behavioral science. And really understanding why people do what they do and supporting in their health journey.
Really brilliant, brilliant, Doshni. That's wonderful. A couple of things really stand out over there. You mentioned, you know, you referenced how non-adherence can directly and negatively impact, does actually directly and negatively impact the health and economic productivity of a nation. But one thing, and I would want to come back to this point and hear both of your perspectives on this, but one thing that really stuck out to me as someone who's interested in you know, how digital health can help. You did speak about Abbott's A-Care initiative, and you specifically said that it rethinks how doctors and patients interact. You have sort of made sure that the behavior is recorded and these insights are shared with both doctors and patients.
To crack the code of non-adherence, we had more than 25,000 healthcare practitioners who attended that, and we have almost 49 world-renowned experts. We had behavioral scientists who really touched the issue of what's really the core to this non-adherence, right? What we're doing further to that is we're also driving that science and that understanding on non-adherence and solutions to further doctors by training the other doctors through masterclasses. Since 2020, we would have conducted 100 masterclasses and trained and had conversations with 45,000 healthcare practitioners around the emerging countries, and primarily discussing how there can be a use of a unique behavioral diagnostic tool. We also have launched this A-Care app in India. And A-Care app is actually a personal coach that helps, it actually nudges the people to take their medicines on time, because all of us know that small nudge in the day, while we're all very busy or we have a lot of other things to really look at, that small nudge really helps us to ensure that we are on track and we take our medicines. It also it takes into account reward progress. So while if you take your medicines properly, there's a rewards that really is there in the app, so that people also get into that habit of taking medications regularly.
That's some supremely interesting stuff, Dr. Ashwini, when you spoke about the A-Care Insight and the A-Care app that's been launched in India. I think those are extremely interesting initiatives that are being taken by Abbott. And I'm sure they will help a lot of patients and doctors as well, even very established and senior doctors.
This is the day of digitalization. You cannot keep out of the digital support in every aspect of your life. Suppose, you know, you are on with the medications and you are on travel. You can easily skip the medication. You are busy in the meeting. You can easily miss the medication. You know, your phone is not on a regular mode. Your phone isn't silent. You might miss the medication. So these are all practical challenges. So probably, you know, these are all the areas where digitalization would be revolutionary. It's already started showing its impact, but more and more we use it, more and more smartly we will be able to interpret it.
It's great, you know, that that we're having this conversation, because it's amazing to know that, you know, Abbott is leading innovation in this space, but also for anyone else who's building for better digital health to solve for these. I think Dr. Tiwaskar's inputs have been great. But coming back to the conversation, Dr. Ashwini, you mentioned some of the initiatives and some of the innovations.
Absolutely. And coming to some further innovations which really help, not just leveraging technology and behavioral science, but also looking at some other tangible efforts towards, you know, building better medicines to improve adherence. We have some of the examples. So I'd like to talk about one of the insights that we gathered on chronic conditions like diabetes and cardiovascular. One of the things like which also Dr. Tiwaskar highlighted at the start, one of the reasons these chronic condition patients are not really, they don't really take medications on time is that too many medicines that they're having, right? Multiple medications which need to be taken in the morning, some in the afternoon, some in the evening. And all of those are important. It's very difficult with the number of pills that they need to take. It's very difficult for them to stick to fully to the schedule, right? So there is an innovation in terms of converting that formulation into an extended release formulation, which allows a patient then to take the same medicine only once a day, right? I have my own mother who is on multiple medicines for multiple conditions. And trust me, I think that simple thing she knows is that she has to, some tablets, I only need to take it in the morning or afternoon or evening. It simplifies. So this is one of the innovations that Abbott has led in terms of creating these formulations. Also, another piece that we understand for chronic disease conditions, is a lot of these patients are elderly patients, right? And in the elderly age, you also find it difficult to take large tablet size. That also is one of the things that creates a bit of a difficulty for the elderly patients. What we have developed at Abbott is EasyGlide coating with specialized polymers. What it does is it gives a glide effect while you're taking the tablet. So when you're taking the tablet, it glides easily and it creates a easier swallowing, especially for the elderly patients. And in a patient's life, you know, especially you realize that when you have patients at home or otherwise, that, you know, these small little things really matter a lot for them.
That's great. The good work that is being done by people like Dr. Ashwini. I would want to go back to this topic of medication adherence. In your day-to-day work, how can you identify medication adherence issues in patients? That would be really, really something to learn from.
It's a simple, actually very simple way of, you know, finding out whether the patient is compliant. If the patient is with his or her spouse, you know, spouses are one of the beautiful information centers for us. Whenever the patients, they walk in. And especially if the father is there as a patient, then probably the daughters are the best, you know, messengers for his naughtiness. If at all the fathers are not following the rules, that has been laid. But the other thing is, and what is my day-to-day clinical practice is that I ask the patients to come with their medication box. You can also judge from the reports of the patient, so investigations of the patient. And the best example I can again quote is again from the example of diabetes management, where the patients in between the visits, they become naughty. But suddenly when they are getting ready to visit the doctor, prior 2 weeks, they'll become absolutely a following decent patients, following all the advices, following dietary restrictions. The success of the therapy of any chronic disease or chronic medication usually lies not only in what happens in the clinic, but it is more determined what happens in between the visits to the clinic. Nobody likes to visit doctor, naturally. So there is bound to be an inertia. And especially when it comes to the chronic disease, the disease inertia is far, far higher. Even the acceptance is very, very difficult sometimes.
Absolutely. Dr. Tewaskar, I think a great point again. Dr. Ashwini, just wanted to ask you, Dr. Tewaskar did say that it's for chronic diseases, it's the inertia from patients is a lot more. And again, we came back to the same point that one size fits all approach is a very difficult thing to sort of put in. When we talk about the work that is being done by Abbott and some of the innovative initiatives that are in place, picking up from what Dr. Tewaskar just said, could you elaborate on the solutions a bit more?
When the doctor really has insights on why exactly the non-adherence happening, that communication, that point in time to correct, to eventually help the patient understand, maybe clarify some misconceptions or beliefs, I think that I feel is one of the biggest tools to really address the non-adherence. And that's one, right? It's that time between when the patient goes back, right? And then he has, say, for example, 1 month for a follow-up or 2 months or 3 months for a follow-up. And then he comes back again to the doctor. During that time, when he's really not in the clinic, what really changes? It really is his busy schedule. It is his own behavior. It's his beliefs or many multitude of reasons why he's not really adhering to the medications. That's the point in time where the ACARE app, which is a personalized coach, will really help the patients in terms of building small behaviors and habits, which will really change the whole, not really just medication adherence, but that nudge will actually also help the patient to adhere to a lot of other instructions, which are also very, very important for patients.
Great, yeah. That's so true, Dr. Tewaskar. It sounds like these initiatives It won't solve the problem completely, but it'll definitely make it a more solvable issue. And as we get better at handling data and as we get better at handling the insights from doctors, we will get better at coming up with at better solutions. I know I would love it if an app told me that, oh, you've done a great job for taking this medicine. I'm sure it will bring about change in me, especially at times when I'm not well. And definitely in the cases where people are suffering from chronic conditions or non-communicable diseases. You know, both of you have mentioned the role of patient education, patient communication and patient education. Can you elaborate on the role of patient education in medication adherence?
So while we are talking about patient education, it's not just related to medication adherence, but the fact that what disease are you suffering from? No, do you really require a long-term treatment for it? And how long do you really need to take the medication? So that understanding of disease also is very, very crucial while we're talking about patient education as a broad thing. And that definitely remains a very important pillar, right? At Abbott, the 2030 sustainability plan that we have that has clear focus on designing access and affordability into our life-changing technologies and products to reach more people, more places than ever before, right? But this means we're working with businesses, with partnerships, and also trying to expand access to care and remove the barriers. One of them is adherence, and eventually working towards healthier lives for the people. I really like what Dr. Tivaskar said, empowering the patient. You know, once you empower them, they have a sense of choice, they have a sense of control.
Amazing. Dr. Ashwini, it's pretty clear that from what you said that the healthcare industry has not only a significant role, but a mammoth challenge in front of it in terms of patient education. And really all the best. I'm sure it will do good to all of us. As we wrap up our discussion, Dr. Tivaskar, I'd like to ask you on your thoughts for how healthcare providers and healthcare companies can better partner with healthcare provider and doctors such as yourselves in improving medication adherence.
With the efforts of the systems like Abbott has developed, A-Care concept that Abbott has launched for all of us. Probably I can tell you that compliance, which is usually understood by the healthcare providers but not adequately addressed, with these tools, probably we will be able to circumvent those challenges and easily address the challenges with better solutions and simplified solutions, which are too more individualized and personalized. Sometimes the time is a constraint for a healthcare provider as far as the patients are concerned. But then the tools like this would be one of the great assets and add-ons for really overcoming this challenge of time constraint for the healthcare provider and the patient to support the compliance and the challenges.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, some of the things that Dr. Tivaskar has said, from the practical approaches, like getting the medication box, that was golden. Again, the nuggets, the hooks for the podcast, some of the things he said have been absolutely great. And Dr. Ashwini, thank you for, bringing out what you're doing as part of Abbott. There's so much is happening in that space. And we all are just hoping that, the solutions between the doctors and the healthcare companies come together and bring a patient's life to more fruition. I mean, thank you so much for your time.
One of the reasons why we should be achieving compliance is it reduces down the healthcare burden, economic healthcare burden of not only the patient, but as a country's healthcare system as a whole. Because we need to understand that the cost of managing the complications caused by this chronic disease is far more higher and unfortunately less rewarding in comparison to prevent these complications from happening. And the only best tool to stop these complications happening, so the economic impact is significantly higher. And sometimes it is significantly higher than the cost of the medications per se, cost of the therapy per se.
Yes, Dr. Ashwini, would you like to add to that, both at a patient level and at the larger social context?
Absolutely. Devyam, I think this is a very pertinent question that possibly we didn't elaborate. We did touch upon the cost to it. And it's very important to understand that, say, if there is a disease condition where there is non-adherence that's there, obviously there is a cost associated to it. Like, we are in a healthcare structure, which is, like I think Dr. Tivaskar said, we have fantastic healthcare practitioners in India. We have experts like fantastic. And across, we have a huge number of clinicians who are catering, but our health needs are bigger. Right? Our health needs are really much more than that because of the population size. And from that perspective, what really happens is this adds a burden, not just from cost, but also it's adding to people who are having longer stays in the hospital, right? The hospitalization is increasing, and all in all, eventually is increasing the cost that is associated to the healthcare system. While if we were able to address this, all of this cost eventually goes towards further improving the healthcare, because there are a lot of other areas to take care of.
Thank you, Dr. Divaskar and Dr. Ashwini, for your invaluable insights today. Your perspectives have shed light on the critical issue of medication adherence, especially in the context of chronic diseases and NCDs. We are grateful for your time and expertise. Let's remember that medication adherence is not just about taking pills on time. It's about understanding the importance of our health, being proactive in our care, and maintaining open communication with our healthcare providers. It's about healthcare companies innovating to make adherence easier and more intuitive. And it's about governments and policymakers creating supportive environments for adherence to thrive. And with this, we would like to sign off from this episode of Health As We Know It. Thanks for listening.